Yes, good morning. Good morning once again. Good morning once again. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think it's the right time to thank Mathias Sangala. And this is your Economic Conversational Program. It's your Economic Conversational Program. And we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia, wherever you are finding yourself. Wherever you are finding yourself, some of you are already awake. Some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are coming back from work. Going back home, some of you are still planning the day ahead. Some of you are still contemplating about waking up or not. And also, there are also some of you who are also trying to figure out what can I do this day? What are the plans which I have? Some of you are demoralized, but what you can do, it's only that, the state of your being, or maybe to say, whatever you do, life is in your hands. It depends on how you do it. And, you know, sometimes there is this thing called, life is like, a game of cards. The game of cards is not about good cards given to you. If you are given even good cards, which means that you are starting on a good pace, then you are lucky. But it's not about good cards given to you. It's how you play the cards given to you. And how you make meaning of it, because sometimes you can be given bad cards. You are starting at the wrong note, but it's how you survive and navigate through that that life. Because it's always very good to motivate each other, but motivation without action is literally nothing and will not bring anything on the table. So let us wake up and see what we can do. Let's do our best and see how things will be in places. So this is your Economic Conversational Program. This is a program that we look at governance issues. This is a program that we look at economic issues. We look at issues of food security, issues of trade, issues of statistics. We look at trade balance. We look at governance report. We look at political decisions and everything that is affecting the way people must access, you know, the basic needs such as food, shelter, and indeed security. And we are trying to make sure that we bring about those conversations, conversation that matters, conversation that requires us to go back on the table, to go back on the drawing board and see and revise the plans that we have and how we are going to implement the right plans that we have. And it's also the program that we are also trying to look at, where did we come from as a country, and what are things that we did wrong? And what are some of the things that we can improve on? And what are the people saying about the way things are? Especially when you look at the way we are standing as an economy, the way we are standing in terms of our financial, you know, system, in terms of our employment rate, in terms of our governance issues, in terms of, you know, the way we deal with, you know, implementation of policies, and also what we are stuck into. And also looking at infrastructure. But the main important thing is human development. The main important thing is human development. And we are always indicating to you to say this conversation is, in most cases, is motivated by where we are as a country and also the need to rethink. And when you speak about human development, we look at all sectors of development to say it's not only good to have good roads and good state-of-art, you know, hospitals or good you know, infrastructure in terms of electricity. But if the life of human beings are not improved, if the lives of an ordinary person who is at the rural area are not improved in terms of access to this, you know, access to electricity and also affordability of that, and also access to quality education, which is productive, and also access to finance, for example, financial inclusion. We have been dealing with that topic. And just overall happiness of a human being. Just look at this. In most cases, the studies have indicated that there is a relationship between happiness and development. The level of happiness and development, there is quite a very good relationship. If you want to look at this, just look at 2024 happiness report, global happiness report. Then you see advanced country and the level of happiness that people are. Because happiness is not only about smiling, but it's also about being satisfied about life and also having access to resources and also, you know, looking at the future with hope and also optimism. And yeah, this is also a conversation that we look at international issues. We look at international issues. We look at what is happening in the world. What is happening in the world? How are these, you know, things which are happening in the world affecting the way we do things at home? And how is Namibia trade relation with other countries? That is number one. How is Namibia trade relations with other country? How is how are we doing in terms of cooperations with other country? What is the decision of global economic power have on SADC and indeed in Namibia? And also down to an ordinary person who is on the ground. And what is happening around the world, especially when you look at peace and stability, because for us to run a good economy, for us to advance our economy and our human development, we also need to look at what is happening around us. Because if you do not have peace in SADC, for example, like what is happening in Mozambique, you'll be able to understand that this will have a direct and indirect impact on the way we trade, and also human migration that is also going to give burden to countries around. So we are trying to look at those things and see what we can do. And apart from that, there is always a conversation that we bring on the table to say what we have today on the table, what can we discuss, especially in the Namibian context, what can we discuss, and how can we, what are some of the suggestions, what are the statistics saying, what are the reports saying, and what can we do to move forward in terms of running our institution, either it's a state institution, private sector, or a non-governmental organization. So that's why we are indicating to you to say, before we go to the main conversation for today, we are always indicating to you to say, dear listeners, story is very crucial, story is very important, especially when you follow us at our social media platform, follow Eagle FM Namibia. You can follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on LinkedIn, and also follow us on Instagram. Because when you do this, you'll be able to be updated with whatever economic related news, economic related report happening around the world and also in the country. So if you like our page, you share our page, those who follow you also be able to follow us, then you will not miss out, especially when it's coming to things of bread and butter issue, especially when it's coming to things of food security, advancement in terms of technology. We look at mining, we look at governance, we look at issues of green hydrogen and issues of natural resources and everything that will assist economic movers. So we are indicating to you to say, if you are an SME operator, if you are a business person, you are an entrepreneur, you are a student, you are a researcher, you are a student of economics, student of governance, student of law, student of international relation, international development, make sure that you like Eagle FM Namibia. You also like the Villager newspaper, because that is our e-paper, which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And in terms of our e-paper, we are always making sure that in terms of national development, national economic development activities is reported, national economic development policies are reported, business initiatives are reported, and there is a lot of opportunities that you can get through having arming yourself with information about economic matters. And with the Villager newspaper, say e-paper that will send to you is in a digital version, to send to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. What you can do, just send your name to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. Then it will be added to the WhatsApp group and it will be sent the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and indeed Friday. So you make your life easier. And there are also those who are asking, but I'm very happy that a lot of people are using an app now. But if you are still not on the Eagle FM app, if you still do not have Eagle FM app in your phone, try to make sure that you download Eagle FM app. Go to Play Store, go to App Store, download Eagle FM app, because that is the only way that you'll be able, or that is the way, one of the best way that you'll be able to access, programs which are on air, and also previous programs through a podcast. Because if you find yourself in a situation where the frequency is not reaching you, make sure that, you download the Eagle FM app, put it in your phone, then you'll make your life more easier. And, lastly, before we go to what we have on the table, we have Imba app. Imba app is, it's a digital version of, hymn book. Because if you find yourself in a situation that you were supposed to use a hymn book to sing, you are in church, you are at an event, you are at a graduation party, for example, you are at, even unfortunate events such as funerals and somebody passed on, then you have to give your respect. But you do not have a hard copy hymn book. Do not scratch your head, because we got you in the context that, you can be able to access a hymn book, just by downloading Imba app. And what is very interesting about this, best app is that, it's not only in Oshiwambo, it's not only a Hangano book, but it's in many other Namibian languages, such as Oshierero, Afrikaans, Silozi, and, many other local Namibian languages. So make sure that you download Imba app, and, you work smart, and work together with the development of world of digitalization. So we are going to a commercial break, and for those of you who are coming on the radio this time, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. This is your economic conversation program, and we're here until the hour of 7:30. We'll start with international news. Let us look at what is happening in the world, what's happening in the continent Africa, coming into Namibia. Then we look at the conversation that we have on the table for today. And if you have an opinion, if you have a view regarding things that are being brought up, whether it's international news, whether it's the main conversation, you can always communicate with us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. When you do that, you will catch us on air, and you can give your views and your opinion, and we'll get it from there. So let's go to a commercial break, then from there we'll start with what we have, particularly from international news front. Then
great news, Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete ofoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu. Heari bali no heari ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are starting with what is happening in Ethiopia. Start with what have happened in Ethiopia, especially when more than 140 people presumed dead after the boat that they were traveling in sink. The boat that they were traveling in, especially when they were traveling to Middle East, and around 140 people, which are migrants, they were presumed dead because of a shipwreck. That is the boat that they were traveling in. They sank, and that is what is happening. And it says a lot about people leaving Africa. There are also those who were rescued. But it says a lot about people, who were leaving their own country, try to look for opportunities in the Middle East. They are trying to look for opportunities. And this is what is happening. People, some of them, they rely on mercenaries to transport them. They rely on illegal, transportation, because they cannot afford the main transportation route, and they can also not afford to have right documents, because these are, most of them are migrants who are just trying to go and find opportunities, either to work in the Middle East there, or to try and find business opportunities. And when you are on your TV, you'll be able also to see and look at how congested these boats are. And just one mistake, the boat is destroyed. One mistake, the boat is lost control, and these people, they lost their life. And it's a crisis. It's not only an people trying to go to the Middle East, we still have a lot of people trying to go to Europe because they cannot survive, or they cannot, be able to survive in their own continent, especially Africans running away from their continent due to promised opportunities outside, or hope that they will get better opportunities. And you'll be able to see international organizations are jumping in. And they are trying to assist and also try to save some of these people. But unfortunately, majority of them, that is more than 140, they lost their life in the sea there. And let us listen to this.
A boat carrying Ethiopian migrants capsized Sunday off Yemen's southern coast, killing at least 68 people and leaving 74 missing, the United Nations Migration Agency said on Sunday. The vessel, with 154 on board, sank in the Gulf of Aden near Abyan province. Only 12 survivors were found, according to the head of the International Organization for Migration in Yemen. Rescue teams recovered 54 bodies from the shore near Khanfar, while 14 others were taken to a morgue in Zinjibar, the provincial capital. Authorities launched a large-scale search operation amid reports of bodies scattered along the coast. Despite Yemen's ongoing civil war, the country remains a major transit point for African migrants heading to the Gulf in search of work. Many rely on smugglers and overcrowded boats to make the perilous journey. The UN says hundreds have died or gone missing in similar shipwrecks this year. In March, four boats sank off Yemen and Djibouti, leaving two dead and 186 missing. An estimated 60,000 migrants arrive in Yemen in 2024, down from over 97,000 the year before, likely due to increased coastal patrols.
Yeah, those are some of the unfortunate news. Some of the unfortunate news, especially when you look at migration, look at opportunity seekers, look at those who are looking to better their lives. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is that how many of us are also planning to leave Africa? How many of us are planning to leave Africa to look for better opportunities? And what can our policymakers do? What can our politicians do to make sure that there's still hope in Africa? There's still hope in Africa. There's still hope in what we can do in Africa. Because, you know, what you can see, what is very interesting is also that when thousands are leaving Africa to look for opportunities, investors are running into Africa to capitalize on those nature resources. Then you're asking yourself, what is the imbalance here? What is the imbalance here? Because if you look at the numbers of people who are living, for example, DRC, and the number of investors who are trying to run into there, or businesses who are running into there to get opportunities there, you'll be able to realize that, there is quite an imbalance, and there's something that we really need to address, especially in Africa. Something that we really need to address, because if you talk about 95,000 people moving in Yemen every month, you'll be able to see that that is not correct. It's not the right thing to do. Imagine a country has war in, there is war in Yemen, but people are still moving through there because it's a transit route to go to the Gulf, so that they can hopefully benefit from businesses there. There's a lot of oil businesses happening, and something that we really need to look at. Something that we really need to look at, and to have hope in our continent, because it's a continent that a lot of people fought for. It's a continent that a lot of people who came did not want to leave. The resources, but it's up to us as Africans to make sure that what is a better way of utilizing the position that I have for the benefit of my country, and also what can we do to improve the lives of others? Because in most cases, what we see in Namibia, you find somebody who have a lot of money, for example, but is unable to utilize that money to make sure that you give others opportunities, because you find those who are saying Namibia is paradise, and you also find those who are saying Namibia is a bit of hell here because of the conditions that they are in. But that is a balance that we need to find, because if we are leaving Africa, we are also finding those on our way when you are leaving Africa in those congested boats, planes on top. They are moving to Africa to search for opportunities, and they are running to Africa to view also animals, to view beautiful nature that which is our shares, and we have to utilize those resources. Because when you look at, for example, what What we were talking about yesterday, when we were talking about African governance report on natural resources, you'll be able also to see. Although many resources are in Namibia, and many resources are in Africa, especially natural resources are in Africa, is between 10 to 15% of values ended to those minerals, for example, are retained in Africa. And what is also interesting, is that that report has also indicated that there is unequal distribution of resources. There is unequal distribution of resources, and also mismanagement of SOEs. That is where we are going to look into it. Because some of these countries are running away from rich, some of these people are running away from rich countries, but due to inequality, due to inability to access resources, these people cannot take it anymore. And hearing about others in the Gulf getting some change, but you still end up finding that a lot of these people who are desperate about opportunities, they also end up, involving themselves in dangerous activities. Some of the ladies, they become prostitutes. Some of the guys, they will end up joining gangs, or they will end up really underpaid or become slaves in the Middle East, because not everyone who is in Dubai is rich. Not everyone who is in Dubai is rich. And just recently, we have seen the report where some Namibians were, brought back or repatriated back to Namibia, who became, victims of human trafficking. So there's a lot of things involved. There's a lot of things going on, but from that ground, that is what is happening. Now let us look at South Africa. Let us look at South Africa. Especially when we talk about the impact of tariffs, the impact of tariffs to the jobs of South Africans. And also, when we are looking at this, we also need to ask ourselves to say, how is this going to impact Namibia? How is this going to impact Namibia? Because it's not only South Africa who is going to suffer. And when I read on one newspaper yesterday, when economists are saying, Namibia 15% imposition of tariff is nothing, and it's not really going to impact the Namibian economy. Then I ask myself to say, if it's not going to impact the Namibian economy, what will happen? What will happen to our South African brothers who are going in the street? What does that mean to you? If South African brothers are going in the street, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to the economy of South Africa also? And if the economy of South Africa is weaker and weaker, what will happen to us? Because that is one, I don't want to say it's a bad reasoning, but it's one-sided reasoning, because if you're only thinking about yourself, you will not know what's going to hit you. Because as I have been always talking about in this program to say, our economy has always been on a defensive mode. We are on a defensive mode. We have always been on a defensive mode for a very long time, and we are not attacking. So if we cannot continue to defend ourselves, which is necessary, and also attacking at the same time, we are not going to win. Because if you have South Africa, which is imposed of 30% tariff, we must be worried. If we have the crisis in Angola, due to increment of oil price, we must be worried. If we have chaos which started in Mozambique, we must be worried, because all these things, they are connected to our bread and butter issue. If we are failing also to produce our own food, at the same time we have problems around us, we must be worried, because we are going to divert from our budget, which is quite not really a big difference from last year's budget, with a difference of 6 billion only. you'll be able to say that, you know, there's a lot to be done, not only to reason on one side. So let us look at South Africa. You know, South African officials are saying, the planned U.S. tariffs could put 30,000 jobs at risk, which means that there's a possibility of 30,000, South Africans to lose their jobs due to this, 30% tariff imposition in South Africa. And, this will have a negative impact on the economy, on the operation, and also impact, you know, the livelihoods of people. Then you also be able to see that, you know, South Africa being one of the highest, one of the number one unequal society in terms of the economy, followed by yours truly Namibia in terms of, the second unequal country in terms of, you know, economic inequality. You'll be able to understand that these tariffs will also put it at a high risk, and the possibility to maintain that trading not for too good reason rank. And you'll also be able to realize that there is something that we need to look at and see how we can save ourselves from this. So let us look at that news.
As South Africa continues to deal with the fallout over planned United States tariffs on its exports, officials say they could put as many as 30,000 jobs at risk. U.S. President Donald Trump has hit the country with one of the highest levies he's imposed on any nation.
South Africa embarked on a process to stabilize and enhance mutual beneficial trade and investment relations with the U.S. The aim has been to address long-standing bilateral issues of concern for both sides in ways that move the trade relations forward. South Africa has been engaging the U.S. at various levels with a view to ensure predictability in trade. However, even with these efforts, the U.S. decided to impose a 30% unilateral tariffs on South Africa.
The new levies create uncertainty for the future of some of South Africa's industries, with the automotive and agricultural sectors expected to be the hardest hit.
The number of jobs likely to be affected. We base this on the ongoing consultations that we have with all the sectors of the economy, from automotive, agriculture, and all the other sectors that are going to be impacted. And at this stage, we are sitting at approximately 30,000 jobs that could be affected by this if it were to be mismanaged in any manner.
The government's response to the tariffs include ongoing diplomatic talks with Washington, outreach to other trading partners, and measures to support local businesses. The tariffs come into effect on Friday.
Yes, there's not enough time for negotiation. There's not enough time for negotiation. But diplomacy has always been number one, you know. Diplomacy has always been number one method that civilized nations use, especially when they are not in agreement. That has always been number one method that is coming on the table, and let us talk. Let us talk how we can save our people. And looking at the Minister of International Relations from South Africa, that is Ronald Ramora, looking at him and the position that he is put now, is he able to push? Is he able also to convince you know, the U.S. Government either to reduce or just to relook at tariff imposition? Is he able to do that? Because looking at him and the role that he play, seems like a young man in terms of global relations. He's a very smart lawyer, but look like unable. Let's go to commercial break.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles, and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, that is what happened in South Africa. That's what's happening in South Africa. There's still talks going on. There's still talks going on between South African officials and also U.S. Officials. And we must pray. Not only praying with hope, but also praying with action that discussion should materialize and should bring right fruits. Because if not, you look at the agricultural sector, it's going to be impacted. And us being, you know, depending on South Africa for food, it's going to also impact us in a very, very bad way. And looking at the foreign minister, international relations minister of South Africa, Renan Ramora, I still have my reservation about his ability to move through that being challenged. And it's a test for him. It's a test for him. Looking at the future of South African politics, it's a test for him to see if he can able to pull out that negotiation, if he can able to make South Africans to be on the safe side, and also to protect those 30,000 jobs. Because as a foreign minister, you head negotiation delegations. Although the president is a chief diplomat, you have a bigger role to make sure that in terms of negotiations, in terms of protecting your country, in terms of you know, making sure that there is better relations, trade relations, that must be a priority. But comparing it to what South Africa have said yesterday when they introduced the desk, they introduced what a helping desk, and that desk is like an advisory to a lot of businesses who will be affected by. Will be affected by this tariff imposition to make sure that they look at other markets. It means that they are negotiating, but at the same time, they are also they are negotiating while moving, because in case what they hope to happen did not happen, then you have an alternative way of how to deal with that. Yes. The time is 48 minutes past the hour of 6. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at economic issues. We are looking at international news. And before we go to the main conversation for today, particularly that is which is looking at the state of our SOEs in Namibia and what we can do in comparison with recommendation from African Governance Report of 2025 and also our PECA Act. Let us look at our last international news, especially still in SADC, where the situation in Mozambique as it was noted that violence in the northern Mozambique, you know, has returned. Where attack have once again started, especially in northern Mozambique, that is Cabo Delgado province, and thousands of people are displaced, and international UN Office of Humanitarian Affairs has stepped in, as thousands of people have displaced around. Almost 50,000 people across these districts of Chiwure, Akwambe, and Muindumbe are displaced. There is attacks of militia in Mozambique. And looking at this, you look at what Mozambique has in terms of natural resources. And also in terms of the state of the Mozambique politics. And you also see what this will have, how this is going to impact, the refugees, movement in SADC region, and how are they going to be accommodated by neighboring countries? So that means that Namibia has also to prepare from this. So to prepare, because the conflict in Mozambique does not only affect Mozambicans, but it's also affecting Namibians, and it's also affecting the way we do business. Because when you look at what happened from last year when there was disputes, there was also severe unrest in Mozambique. South Africa lost around 20,000 US dollars per day. 10,000 US dollars per day. And if you put it in rent, then you will be able to realize how many millions are those one. How many millions are those? Because the logistic has to stop when you have unrest. The logistic has to stop when you have unrest. Businesses is disrupted, and you have to find alternative ways. And people are running up and down. So it's very important to look at what's happening at our neighbor, and how SADC is also going to intervene. How SADC is also going to intervene in this situation, because if you look at what happened from last year, SADC through the organ of politics and defense, they've intervened in terms of negotiation, in terms of when opposition politics and the ruling party politicians were not in good standing. But now you're asking yourself, what is causing this now? What is causing this? Is it new group of people, or these people are politically motivated? So let's go for a short commercial break. Then we look at Mozambique, then we come to what we have on the table today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything in Bayesto.
Yes, let us quickly look at Mozambique, then we can look at the state of our SOEs. Let us quickly look at Mozambique. Yes, 10,000 of people free northern Mozambique following intensified attacks.
The recent attacks by armed groups in northern Mozambique displaced tens of thousands in July alone, deepening an already dire humanitarian crisis in Cabo Delgado and straining limited aid supplies, according to the United Nations. According to the UN's Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, attacks by armed groups between 20th and 28th July triggered the displacement of at least 46,000 people across the districts of Chiure, Ankuabe, and Muidumbe. Since January, over 95,000 people have fled insecurity in Cabo Delgado, and humanitarian access is becoming increasingly fragile. Reports indicate a high number of unaccompanied or separate children. Mozambique has been battling the Islamist insurgency in Cabo Delgado province since 2017. Government forces have struggled to contain the violence, relying on support from troops sent by Rwanda, South Africa, and other regional partners.
Julieta Carlos says she's never seen anything like the recent attack on her village in Mozambique by an armed group in all of the 79 years she's been alive.
We saw our houses burned and they started beheading people. We ran away. Our home is far from here and it took us about 2 weeks to get here.
Now she's among hundreds hoping to find food and shelter here at a center for displaced people near the town of Pemba. Everyone tells similar stories. Musa Asani says the fighters abducted many children. He was lucky to escape with his.
They wouldn't let us leave. Then they took us to a school and read out our names. Then they beheaded them with a machete while everyone was watching.
The attackers are from armed groups who say they want to create an Islamic State. Their attacks on the mainly Muslim population began sporadically 3 years ago. This year they've grown stronger, occupying some towns in Cabo Delgado province. For nearly 2 months, they've controlled the port town of Mocimboa da Praia. They've made regular attacks on other towns, roads in the province, and some islands too. That's made the town of Palma only accessible by air. And they're steadily getting closer to the Afungi Peninsula, around which there are tens of billions of dollars worth of natural gas deposits. The deposits lie offshore in the Indian Ocean. International oil companies, including Total and Eni, have invested billions of dollars in preparation to extract it. The local population's been marginalized and most have lived in poverty for generations. Watching the investments and foreigners getting jobs has seeded discontent and fueled the rebellions, which some analysts say could stop the gas projects entirely.
That
is what's happening in Mozambique. That's what's happening in Mozambique. We'll see what will happen. See this Islamic State influence groups are becoming very strong. And they've been around for quite some time now. Because if you go back to history, not even history, if you go back 3 years ago, and when our late president, Dr. Ginkop, was the head of SADC, Organ of State Politics and Defense, there was a point that he called for intervention in that area. And also, there was also a point that even before DRC's situation escalated, that SADC has to sit regarding the situation in Cabo Delgado. So that is what happening. And looking at trade relations, especially between Namibia and also Mozambique, you'll be able to see that Namibia export quite a number of items because it's exporting fish, and also other goods, and we also get some things that you call seafood. You know, there are a lot of our Namibian ladies, they like seafood. Most of this seafood that you see, they're not from Namibian Ocean. They have been coming from Mozambique. And that is some of the trade relations that Namibia has with Mozambique, and also export frozen fish to Mozambique. And this will definitely impact the trade, not only the trade, but the peace. Because if you talk about Islamic State, this militias, religious-driven militia, and they very dangerous. And just the other day, people were speaking about jihadists around our borders and many other militias. But it's the situation that we need to look at. It's a situation that we need to look at, especially regarding safety. and also business operation, because business can operate in a hostile environment. So business needs peace, and without peace, things will not work. And the question that you're asking yourself is that, how fast are we implementing the plans that we have for our national development, while also keeping our eye open in our neighboring countries and also to what's happening in the globe? Because looking at the predicament that we already face with our NDP6 implementation or action plan, you'll be able to see that we also need to protect ourselves at the same time developing ourselves. So how fast are we implementing, or we are still struggling to do that? So let's go to a commercial break, then we can look at the state of our SOEs. You can also engage us at what news that we brought at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So let's go to a commercial break, then we see what do we have on the table today.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota enjuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile konderewa. Vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother.
Yes, the time is 4 minutes past the hour of 7. We are here until 7:30. We have around 26 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation, before we come to the end of our economic conversation news. And what you're asking yourself today, is based on the report from yesterday, particularly the African Governance Report on Management of Natural Resources 2025, which gave some quite important recommendation, especially when it's coming to implementation of African Continental Free Trade Area, when it's coming to good governance, when it's coming to management of resources, and also when it's coming to advancement of African states to develop their economy and their human development. One of the recommendations which was given, especially at 7.4.1, is to introduce a market liberalization reform and strengthening SOEs and to make sure that we optimize value relations. One of the things that was stated is that SOEs play an important role in minerals and marine resource sector in Africa, and giving SOEs autonomy and power will be able to allow these SOEs to make independent decisions and also to increase profit making and also strengthening the state. One of the things which was also indicating that decentralization and autonomy, which is increase of enterprise autonomy, giving them more control over their operations, including decisions related to production, pricing, management, and this reform will make SOEs more responsive and market need and competitive. One of the things which was stated in this report is that, you know, when you have strengthened the SOEs, and for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, SOEs are state-owned enterprises, some of these government businesses, and they are known as prastatals. Talk about the NAM power, talk about the NAM water, talk about many other SOEs, talk about Trans Namib, talk about Air Namibia, which is no more, and all the SOEs that we have, the state-owned enterprises, and you also have even University of Namibia and NASTA. Those are SOEs. Talk about the National Youth Council. Talk about the National Youth Service. Talk about NAMQUADEM. These are state-owned enterprise. It's a state-owned enterprise where the state has shares, or some of them state are in total control. But what you need to look at is that some of them are regulators. Some of them are regulators, like NAMFISA, for example, like CREN. But some of them are for profit-making. Some of them are government businesses. You have the likes of Namibia Industrialization and Development Agency, that is NIDA. And those are some of the SOEs that we have, but we have a lot of them. We have Namibia NASFAF, it's an SOE. And you'll be able to look at now, because there are two categorization of SOEs. We have those who are supposed to make profit, and those who are not for profit, that's giving services, or their job is to regulate. Talk about Electrical Control Board of Namibia and many others. And there are those whose job is to make profit, and there are also those who to make sure that state operations are in line, is regulations or giving services, or that is what the government is using to give a service. Now, looking at the state of our, looking at, before we go to the state of our SOEs, looking at this report, the report indicate also that let us have a comparison or a lesson to learn. They gave an example of the reform of Deng Xiaoping reform, China, that is what have happened in China, where in China, for them to advance their development, they have reformed their SOEs, and they have established special economic zones that transformed China economy. It is also stated that, you know, the SOEs reform in China offer comparing possibilities for a replica and tested approach for improving the role of SOEs in the economy. Now, I like the way the report was stated, like the way the report was stated. But let us ask ourselves this question: how many of our SOEs in Namibia, how many of our SOEs, our state-owned enterprises, are effective? How many of them are still struggling? How many of them? How many of our SOEs in Namibia that when we are speaking, still have acting CEOs for the past 4 years, for example? How many of SOEs managed to maintain CO to say for two terms. How many of our SOEs have functioning boards? How many of them? And how much money is spent on fighting internal SOE battles? Just cutting across, either is profit making or not for profit SOEs. How strong is our PEGA Act? How strong is our PEGA Act? How strong is our Public Enterprise and Governance Act, which is governing SOEs? Do we have conflict? The other time we had a conversation with a public policy analyst to look at the PEGA Act. How many of SOEs have went down because of political influences? Because the other time, when you listen to South African analysts, a lot of people, they look at Prince Marshall as the guy who was in, is a former speechwriter to Thabo Mbeki, and is a political analyst, and is a book author. I mean, he's the author of a lot of books, and he is he's one of the public intellectuals in South Africa. Then you look at this thing, study this thing of KEDA deployment thing, to say, When African government, when African black government took over from colonial masters, they had two options. Some they went away, so they went to parliament. Some they were deployed in political offices, become ministers. And some they went to SOEs. When the one from parliament go and visit the one who are running SOEs, they realize that, no, these guys have bigger houses, these guys have expensive cars, these guys have swimming pools, these guys have what? Then they say, no, let us leave parliament, let's go to SOEs. That is why, when you look at the way SOEs in South Africa have been, not really to say corrupted, but collapsed, it's due to the thing of, you say that technical incompetency and also combined with inexperienced people and also taking of state resources. Because the other time we were talking with, today we were talking with my colleague Matthias Angala to say, no, the highest paid person in Namibia is not the president, it's not the minister, it's not the prime minister, it's not the speaker of parliament. The highest paid person in Namibia is it's the CEO of a state-owned enterprise. It's up to you to go and look which state-owned enterprise is that. Which state-owned enterprise is that? And looking at this recommendation, is it going to work? Is it going to work giving SOEs more power, or we need to restructure our governance structure? Because having a recommendation like that can really work, but What is the state of Namibian SOEs? Why are we not meeting each other? And looking at University of Namibia produced one of the bright graduates, especially from Namibia Business School, and most of these guys they with MBAs, MPA, diplomas in project management, and all this qualification. Most of these guys they did research about how to solve problems in SOEs particular. In SOEs, because MBA is more on business. How to solve problems in SOEs. But how many of these research were done with an intention of solving a problem rather than getting a qualification? If we have a lot of MBA graduates who are trained at business school. And the reason for you to have an MBA is you are a corporate leader. That was the initial, initial existence of an MBA. If you have MBA, you are a corporate leader. You are supposed to solve problems. But the more MBAs we have, the more disruption we have in our SOE. Let's look at a commercial break, then we can continue.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of
Yes, the question is that should we give SOEs more power again, or should we restructure our PEGA Act, or should we restructure our governance system, the way we deal with SOEs, or what need to be done? What need to be done to make sure that our state-owned enterprise are running and they are not only salary correctors? They are running, they are sound, and they are effective. What need to be done? What need to be done in that case? Because when you talk about the more you have MBAs, the more problems you have. That is not really the good phrase to put it, but it seems like that. It seems like that because when you look at these guys' profile, and you look at the way they do their presentation, when you look at the way they promise what need to be done, when and how, when you look at the drafted strategic plans, then you look at the outcomes. You are just not seeing, things are just not making good sense. They're just not. That is why when the other time I was excited, especially at the beginning of this year, I was excited and disappointed also. You know, when NIDA, for example, for the first time they produced, after a very long time, their balanced financial statement, audited financial statements, for the first time after 6 years. Then they draft their integrated strategic plan as per PEGA Act. Then, just few months, they indicated that they are aiming to create around 35,000 jobs within 5 years. Then things continue. All of a sudden the CEO is gone. Lot of things are happening up and down. You are just asking yourself, what is going on? Look at our case of Namco. Where is Namco standing? What is the matter? How come we end up being here? Now who is going to lead our industry if our corporate leaders are no more around? Those were some of the brilliant guys. You can argue with me. There were some of the brilliant guys that Namibia can have. But looking at the way what they did and also the unfortunate what have happened is that you will not get them anymore. It's because they have seen also that there are loopholes in the act or in the way we are governing SOEs. Look at the fish rod, because this report of African peer review mechanism, that is the report which is on governance of natural resources. It did not just look at mineral resources, it also look at marine resources. But should we still continue? Where are we standing for us to follow this recommendation? Because it's quite a very good recommendation, but looking at where we are now as a country, you're asking yourself questions to say, can we still give more power, independence to SOEs? Are they able to do that so they can manage our resources very well? Can we give more power to Fishco, for example? Can we give more power for that? No, it's a point of debate. It's a point of debate to say, giving more power, they are a bit away from political influence. They can make their own decisions. Or giving them more power, will it means that resources will continue to collapse? Because comparing Africa with China, it might be a good comparison, but in terms of practicing, this is Africa. In Africa, there are certain ways of doing things, and there are certain ways that we need to do things well. So, that is what we are faced with. That is what we are faced with. Because I've been talking this thing to say, as far as we have NDP 6 well drafted, well planned, well researched, it cannot be fruitful if we don't put our governance structure in order. It can't. It won't. It will not. It will not happen. Because it's through the correct governance structure that resources will flow. That resources will flow and will reach those who, need. Those who are in need. And it's the only way that we are going to win this war of economic inequality and also create more employment. Because how many SOEs they are going to come in for bailout? Bail me out completely. You want to be bailed out completely. How many, and you are just asking yourself, how come we end up here without our airline? How come we end up here? And is that the discussion dead or alive? Because there was a discussion where some politicians were saying, no, it cannot be correct. We want an airline. Yes, we want an airline. It's pride of Namibia. But can we manage the airline? Or we are still going to pump in the resources? Can you manage that airline? Can you manage it? Do we have people who can manage airlines or just executive who can correct, funds? Because it's also show some of our weakness in our institution. If you have, we're talking about, no, Zimbabwe is not putting their house in order, but they still have Zim Airline. They still have Zim Airline, it's still there. It's functioning, it's operational, it sounds, and it's good. But Namibia, where are we? So it's a question that we need to ask ourselves, not only a question of politicians or a question of those who are in power. It's also a question of business students, because business students were supposed to save us, but it's a curriculum of business that we are learning, not in line with what we need, because the fact that we have a lot of people who are graduating from business school, either it's Pap Kevers Business School at NUST, either is business school at IUM, either is Namibia business school at UNAM, or any other business schools, either you are studying at study or wherever you're studying. Are you in line of on what we need? Ask yourself this, you are a business student graduate, you have an MBA, or you have a DBA. Then ask yourself, what did you research about? What is your contribution? What is your contribution to the institution that you are working in as a graduate of MBA? Because it's not only about the Governance Act of SOE. It's not only about the government, but it's also about academia. Because academia was supposed to bring a topic to say, no, how come an institution like, I don't want to say Nippon for the past 15 years did not have a CEO who served for full-time, five years, without any conflict. Nobody asked these questions to say, how come an institution like NASFAF is still having an acting CEO? People don't ask this question. To say, why is Transnamib the way it is? These are our institutions. We need to ask those questions to say, what help do they need? What can academia do to assist? Oh, people do not ask these questions. They do not ask these questions. Why NIDA is where it is today? And this institution had best corporate leader to say, best corporate leaders. Not the best corporate leaders, the head of these institutions. But why are things the way they are? Do we have KEDA deployment? Are we intimidating our business people? Or why? And how are we going to solve these problems? Because if we are not solving it now, what we want will not happen, because that is where we have to start in. Because we need to fix the engine. You need to fix the engine. You can't just paint the car, but the engine is of skorokoro. No, we need to fix the engine first, and the engine of the economy, especially from state level, the engine of the economy is the functioning of SOEs, is the effectiveness of SOEs. And if the engine is not working, we will not get that which we want to get. And we're still going to run in the circle, because that thing have been happening for a very long time. And academia, I don't know if they see it or they don't see it, or when they see it, what are the people doing? Look at NIP, you can name them all. You can name them. What is going on? So, those are some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves, and also, maybe to find experts who can come in, and also to engage us related to that matter. So, with 4 minutes left, you can still, contribute to the conversation at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. Because, looking at, the recommendation from African peer review mechanism on strengthening SOEs to manage natural resources, it's actually a very good recommendation. But are we ready for that? It's the same question that we're asking ourselves. Are we ready for African continental free trade area to be fully operational? Are we ready for that? Yes, we exported our first shipment, or our first consignment, to say. But are we ready? Because you can't go into the business if you are not ready. So, dear listeners, we have around 2 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. We have around 2 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Today we are speaking about the state of our SOEs, the state of our state-owned enterprises. Are they ready to implement the recommendation of African peer review mechanism under African governance? African governance report on management of natural resources of 2025. Are they ready to do that? Or we still have a lot more to do? Is the problem the structure or the capacity? Is the technical incompetence caused by the structure or the capacity or political influence or just not knowing how to do it? Hello? Yes, you can still engage us. You can still call back at 083-288-401. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
How are you?
Good, how are you, sir?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
How are you? Hello?
Yes, hello.
You can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you properly.
Yeah, now you are clear. Now I can hear you also.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? What is your contribution?
Hello?
What is your contribution?
Hello, can I go ahead?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello?
Yes, you can go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, no, Peter Mike. Is it Peter Mike, eh?
No, it's David, the mic will come in soon.
Let us be honest sometimes, eh?
Yeah.
I think there's something we miss.
Mm.
We are too much into... We pretend we want to see people who are educated.
Mm-hmm.
But I think...
Yes? Yes?
Some of the people did it part-time, and the things were written by others. It's not them.
Oh.
Yes. Look, a person who have done something, you know... Look, what...
Hello?
You don't understand it.
Mm, 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 mm.
The same thing the president, the current president said. You are the advisor to the president.
Mm.
But you, what you know, the president, the person you're advising knows more than... I can give you a very good example. Telecom is one of them.
Yeah.
Telecom is one of them. To the extent that the CEO signs S&T.
Yeah.
You think, is that a strategic? I've asked this guy.
Yes, I think your line is
if the CEO fails, it's not the CEO only
who's
failing.
Mm.
The whole exco, entire exco fails.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys should advise each other. What?
Yeah.
Him to his next boss, who is the minister or who is the board of directors, say, no, this guy what he's doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if we are failing to advise each other, we are just there as salary collectors. Let us be honest.
Yeah. So
these Exco guys have been there since 2016. They have been there. I was invited to one meeting of their structure. I told them the structure we want to implement it. Why? I told them.
You have a good point, but your line is cutting. Yes, thank you very much to the caller. Oh, he's making very good point, but you know the line is a bit cutting. He's indicating that it's not only the chief, but it's the whole ESCO. Can't be the advisor to the CEO, but you know less than the CEO. If you are in charge of human resource, you must know more on human resource. If you are in charge of technology, you must know more in terms of technology. If you are in charge of, you know, risk management, for example, you must know more than that. I think the caller made a very important point. But due to time, we are not going to, very sorry. We are just going to give the opportunity to Michael Shoveri to come and, unpack the day. So, thank you very much, dear listener, for listening to Early Morning Scoop. And, we are going to look at, unpacking the day, and Michael Shoveri is on the other line waiting for us. So, for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.